Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm Amy Richmond. Most of our podcasts start off with that phrase about looking at life through a spiritual lens. But what does that mean? Well, it's not putting on a special pair of possibly rose-colored glasses, but it is seeing something real that you don't see if you're accepting what you see with your eyes as definitive truth. And today, that's what we're going to be talking about. How can we see spiritual reality and be healed? The other day, I was talking with my friend, Mark Swinney, who is a Christian Science practitioner and teacher. He said something to me in that conversation that made me lean in and want to know more. There's a difference between prayer that's basically your own words and the kind of prayer where you feel Christ. Mark, did I get that right?
That's exactly it. Yes, that's just what we talked about.
Cool. Well, when we say Christ, we're not talking about just Jesus, the man, though he definitely demonstrated Christ like no one before or since. Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered Christian Science, wrote in her book Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Christ is the true idea voicing good, the divine message from God to men speaking to the human consciousness. So how do we hear that Christ, that true idea voicing good?
Oh, you're hitting on probably my favorite subject on earth. I love this so much. Yes, the word Christ is so often associated with Jesus. And you're right, it's for good reason. It's Jesus' title. But the good news is that this Christ, which you described in that quote,
yeah,
the divine message from God to men speaking to the human consciousness, that is something that happens throughout all time, not just Jesus' time.
Right.
And so, oh, I think it's key to, as you mentioned, key to praying. The Christ is God's communication to me.
Mm-hmm.
To all of us. It's God's communication. It's what God is showing us or having us feel or telling us. And these ideas that God gives us, they're just such an example of God's love for us. You know, probably, a year or two ago, I was talking about a healing of a horse in one of these Sentinel Watch programs. And this is another experience with a horse.
And you're going to be known as the horse guy.
I don't know. Yeah, really. The horse whisperer.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it just happened to be. And I learned so much from it because there's a horse I know who she was injured and injured to such a degree that she couldn't move or anything. And I'm not going to describe too much about it, but it just wasn't anything that, I wanted to see.
Right.
And other people who saw this horse, they all really were intent on having it euthanized as soon as possible.
Because they were concerned.
Of course they were.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. So here's what happened. I'm with that horse and begin praying by zipping my lip and just being open to the presence of God. And I know that God is always present. Christian Science teaches that God is love, God is spirit. Another name that we use for God is mind, M-I-N-D. And God as ever-present, divine mind, it's a very reassuring way to think about God. Well, here's what God says to me. God says, Mark, God often speaks to me really simply. in this case, definitely happened. I remember this as clear as day. He says, Mark, I am perfect mind. And there was then quiet. And I thought, well, that's good, God. I'm glad you are. You know, that's great. And then God said, being perfect mind, Mark, I want you to know that I only produce perfect thoughts. That really made me stop in my tracks because I could tell God was telling me something.
Yeah.
God was showing me that this horse, as much as it appeared to my physical eyes as a broken material being, God was telling me that he sees this horse as actually his thought, without any molecules of matter attached to it, just his thought only. And I knew that was clear because over all the years I've studied, I know God creates us only spiritually. And so I felt so, I don't know, I just felt so loved, I guess. And I felt God's love for the horse too. God said, "Mark, just so you know, I'm perfect mind." If you think about it, a perfect mind would only have perfect thoughts. This horse is one of them. Mm-hmm. All right. That was fantastic news. You see, I had nothing to do with that. That was right. That was the communication of God. God communicates with us in exactly how we need it. That's one thing for sure. But it comes in so many different ways. So when I described to you these ideas, how God said to me, "I only create perfect thoughts," I have to say, I had to put that into English and tell you it. Mm. When it happened, it was like a dawning that was wordless, but I knew what it was. And it was sort of a, I don't know, just like the curtains opening at a show. All of a sudden, what's revealed is perfect God only produces perfect thoughts. And to be a thought of God, you know, that's what it is to be spiritual.
Right.
In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy, she says that God creates all forms of reality. His thoughts are spiritual realities. Well, yes, for something to be real, it must be his idea, his thought. And when God told me the good news about this horse, it was clear that the horse God was showing me isn't a mixture of matter and God's thought. It's an idea of God exclusively, and that's why it's invulnerable. It takes me much longer to put it into words, but the feeling of it is what struck me. And I felt God's love. Oh, I felt God's love as that was coming, and it was such a happy surprise. I never would have come up with any of that. It was God communicating. So I come back the next day, and I see the horse, and the horse is no better at all. Aww. Just still in the same shape. But I didn't feel even a little bit unsettled because I'd already gotten that Christly message, that wonderful news that God's thoughts, divine mind's thoughts are perfect. And so I was settled in that truth. Now, we gave the horse some water and food, and it was able to eat and that kind of thing. So it was getting care. But the next day, I come back, and I see that horse. No change, not even a bit. But you know what? I have to say, I felt even more confident.
Oh, wow.
The reason why is because God had given me the news.
Right.
It wasn't up to Mark to come up with some healing words of prayer that are going to help this horse. No, God had already told me the good news. And I love God so much, it was not hard to agree with God. I stood there and I saw the horse and I knew, oh, what good news. God, you are perfect mind and you only have perfect thoughts, of course. And this is a thought of God. I love thoughts of God, and this horse is one. Well, the next day I came back and I saw that horse in a big field with a couple of other horses.
Yeah.
And she was running and playing and jumping just like horses do when they're having fun.
Oh, that's great.
And that was the end of it. You know, that was the end of that.
That was great. Great. Okay, I have to ask you real quickly, for one of our listeners who often writes in when we have animals on our show, do you know the horse's name?
This horse's name was Juniper.
Juniper. Okay, good. Well, our listener is going to be very happy to hear that. And I'm very happy to hear how Juniper was completely healed and back running and playing with her friends. You know, what I really love about this story, I thought of two things. One is that when you heard that Christ message, you trusted it. And so much so that even when you saw the horse wasn't getting better, you still believed that message. You didn't think, oh, maybe I got it wrong, or that didn't work. I've got to come up with a different prayer. You trusted it. You had felt it. Would you say that?
I would say, yes, I did trust it because I could feel God's love so much with the message. And it was a reassuring, Mark, you know, don't fall for all of this and all the fear surrounding it and everything. It was God saying, just so you know, let me give you the facts about this.
Yeah.
And it was like God had just taken me by the shoulders and said, good news, I am perfect mind forever. My thoughts are perfect. So Juniper is a perfect thought of God. It's sort of like when the judge hits the gavel in the courtroom, the case is over. You know,
right.
God said it.
Right.
This was it. And that is, I couldn't imagine saying no
right.
to that. You know, I don't know. I just couldn't imagine because God gave me the truth. But what's so beautiful is, and what I hope people see is that the responsibility of enforcing the truth, that's all in God.
Right.
Our job is just to love God so much we agree with him.
Right.
And so we'll agree and then go to the next thing we pray about. But when we pray, it's not a time to be talking at God. It's a time to put your hands in your lap and let God bless you with new information, the Christ,
right.
about whatever you're praying about.
Well, I also, the second thing that I really loved about that experience is that if God had given you a new message, you know, if you heard something
yeah.
different through Christ, you would have paid attention, but you didn't. In this case, it was the same message. Don't worry, you know, I only
True.
Have perfect thoughts.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I love that you stuck with it because I know that in the past, sometimes I would, you know, get inspired by something and really feel God. And then if something didn't change, I'd think, I need something else. And that's kind of the medical model of, well, that pill didn't work. I need a different kind of medicine.
Yes.
And I also learned to trust those Christ messages and to really stick with
yes.
them. But I love yeah. that your experience points that out so well.
Yes, definitely. Each day that I went back to see that horse, it was deepening in me each day.
Yeah.
My love for God would make it even more clear. And that's why I guess I felt more confidence as time went on. Because, I mean, just the idea that perfect mind only creates perfect thoughts, that sounds so simple. But actually, I found it could go deeper in me each day. And my love for God helped that happen. But I sort of was in awe, but felt like that. Every time I would walk by that horse and I would feel in such awe that God's thoughts are perfect. Oh my goodness, I still feel it now.
That's great. I love it. I'm going to tell you a little story. It might
yeah.
not seem like it connects, but I think it does. I have an issue with the GPS that I use in my car. It's frankly crazy. It often recalculates when it's not necessary, and it tells me to do things like turn where there is no road or take a U-turn when I know I'm actually heading in the right direction.
Sure.
And it even tells me regularly on my way to work to drive right into a pond, you know.
Yep, yep.
So crazy. But I never, ever do any of those things because even when I only have a vague idea of where I'm going, I know that none of those things are right. I don't
yep.
ever question them because they don't make sense.
Right.
And,
yes.
you know, it made me think, well, why does it seem like we trust our common sense more than we trust our spiritual sense?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what can we do about that? Because I think that we need to think about how do we cultivate a steady stream of hearing Christ, that divine message from God to us. How do we do that? What would you say?
I would say this. First of all, you may think, okay, well, if it's God who is going to be communicating, then there's no point in, you know, learning or studying things like in the Bible and science and health. But actually, the more familiar we are with these theological ideas that we find in Christian Science, the more quickly we're able to identify why God is telling us something, because we have a context. So for God to say, well, I only have perfect thoughts, I had this context knowing that, first of all, God creates us only spiritually, no matter involved, that God sees us only as good because God is completely good. These theological points gave context to the Christ truth. So once you just start doing that, I have to say, I think probably that's why I said it's my favorite thing to talk about, is that constant stream of Christly ideas. It's the only thing that satisfies us. We can be doing all kinds of things during the day, but it's when we're yielding our thoughts and life to the Christ truth, to God's message. Oh my goodness, it really matters. And so that stream is natural. I think that's just how Jesus operated. He just went through his day, and it was a constant receiving of what God is telling. I think sometimes people think, oh, if I'm just talking to God all the time and asking for help that way, am I pestering God? And there's a place Jesus was talking about his prayer and how he would go to the Father, as to go to God. And he said that he will give Jesus 12 legions of angels. Angels, that's another term for those Christly messages that come to us that help us feel God's love and understand things from a spiritual perspective. Now, 12 legions of angels. One legion, I looked it up, is only 6,000 people. 6,000, but 12 is 72,000. So 72,000 different times, Jesus was making a point that that's how much God communicates. And so don't feel like you're pestering God if you go to God for the simplest things, because the little things, the big things, all add up to bringing your life in line with the Christ hour by hour.
Right.
That's what satisfies us. And that's all that satisfies us after we start doing that for a while.
Yeah. I mean, what you're saying here kind of reminds me of that quote that is in Science and Health, where Mrs. Eddy wrote, study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit.
That's it.
You know, that letter, knowing what's real and true through study, really does help you be ready and willing and able to kind of open up and listen, you know?
Definitely.
I mean, I had an experience one time where I had this cat named Tulip, and she was really, really skittish. Not feral, but lots of those tendencies.
Yeah.
And one day she did not seem to be doing well at all. And she had had a physical issue that I had been praying about, and it seemed to take a turn for the worse. And so I went to get her, to put her in the cat carrier, and she bit me and scratched me. And I had her by the scruff of the neck, and I didn't want to let go because I knew if I let go, I'd never be able to get her for like a week. So I was holding onto her so tightly. And, you know, there was a lot of damage to my hands and arms. And, you know, my home looked like a crime scene. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So I finally get her in the carrier. She's in the back seat of my car. I called a practitioner and just said, you know, you got to pray for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember anything that practitioner said to me. I think I was actually in shock. I was shaking and, you know. And so I started driving the 10 minutes to the animal hospital. And at that point, I started to feel something. But I wasn't praying, you know. I mm-hmm. know that yep, I, yep. this practitioner was praying for me, and the work that she did was really effective. I felt really led to say to Tulip, you know, I really loved her, and I knew that she had never meant to hurt me, that she was just scared, and I promised her I would never, ever take her to the vet again. You know, at that point, I get to the hospital. I gave Tulip to the vet staff. It was during COVID time, so I had to leave her with them, and I sat in the car, and I really started to feel that everything was fine, that everything was fine with her, and that everything was fine with me. And it wasn't that I was hoping that it would be. I knew it. And that sure. I did feel was Christ.
That's the Christ. Yeah, that's
yeah. it. So, you know, I felt that that was Christ telling me that God was there, that good was right there with me and with Tulip. And it wasn't words, it was definitely a feeling. And yeah. at that point, and this is maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes into sitting there, you know, it's taken me a longer time to tell you than it actually took
definitely,
to
sure.
happen. I looked down and I literally saw that the raised wounds on my hands and arms, they deflated and they all knit together right in front of me. I'd never ever seen anything like that before.
Like that happen,
Or since.
yeah.
And, you know, they brought Tulip back out to me and they said, no, she's fine. And that was a really great thing. And, you know, a side note is, you know, we went home that normally after just a routine vet visit, Tulip kept her distance for a week or so, but not this time. She climbed up on my chest for the very first time and she laid down and she had never done that before. And she was so affectionate. And so, you know, what I love here is that, yes, we can 100% be open to hearing Christ, but Christian Science also has this really great thing, which is practitioners that can support you when you need it. And they're there to help you feel Christ.
Feel Christ, yes. And Tulip felt the Christ too.
Oh, 100%.
Don't you think it's interesting? You know, we describe it all in words, but it does come down to a feeling because there's a feeling of like joy and confidence that comes with whatever Christly message we're given. And that feeling is the answered prayer.
Right.
It is what we can trust. I love that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, I really cracked up when you were describing, you know, driving using that GPS that keeps telling you to make U-turns when you shouldn't. I think everybody listening to this probably smiled because we've all experienced
right.
it. But that's sort of like what you were talking about at the very beginning. You know, we get information from our eyes that tell us to make some U-turns, to go in right into the pond.
Right.
And it's right what our eyes tell us. But then through spiritual sense, in other words, yielding to the nature of God and how God creates, the Christ, in other words, yielding to that, that takes us to the realm of answered prayer.
Right.
And
right.
so, oh, yeah.
Well, and soon after that experience that I had where I thought, well, why do we trust our common sense? And I think most people do more than spiritual sense. And soon after that, I woke up one morning and I felt like I had a bad cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, am I going to trust that, those symptoms, or am I going to trust spiritual sense? Because spiritual sense tells me that God, good is here and everything is under God's control, not under anything else. It's not a medical condition, a human condition, nothing like that. It's under God's control. And as soon as I gave my consent, I went, no, I'm going to trust spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual sense tells me that God is here taking care of me. I was completely healed. I mean, it wasn't even a second, you know? So I love when we get these ideas. That, to me, that GPS thing that I thought about was Christ talking to me.
It's the same idea. It's that same thing. And yes, you know what it is? It's so nice that the truth that God gives you, that Christ's truth that God gives, it remains true. It doesn't become a lie for a little while and, you know, not true, in other words.
Right.
It remains true. And so we just align ourselves with God. And sometimes, you know, we have to celebrate if we can do it for 30 seconds. And we say, I'm totally aligned with what God told me. And then 30 seconds go by and you go, throw confetti in the air. I did it. And then that will help you build. But if you want it to stick longer, it's your love for God that will help you do so. Always that. As Jesus said, it's the number one priority in life is to have love for God. Number one is to do that. And so you will always think about what you love. And if God tells you something about Tulip or Juniper or Mark or Amy or whatever, when God tells you, if we love God enough, we will agree permanently. And it's that love for God that will give that strength to us that we need.
Right. And it helps us hear him, right?
Oh, doesn't it? Oh my goodness, that's so true. Boy, that's another program right there, how loving God helps you hear him. It's really true. Yeah. That's really it.
Yeah, that's good. This is so good, Mark. I'm so happy that you've been able to share with us. Thanks so much for being here today.
It was my treat.
I've been speaking with Mark Swinney, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Cerrillos, New Mexico. By the way, we love hearing from you. Feel free to leave us a comment on the Sentinel Watch page for this episode. And this part is important. If you have a question that you want answered, please be sure to include your email address so we can get back to you. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Amy Richmond, your host and executive producer. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado and Sophie Ungerleiter. Our production assistant is Natasha Telsho. Our editor is Lisa Rennie Seitzma. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. Check back in with us next week.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.